Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, hi, Marty. How you doing?
Excellent. Probably the most significant lawyer in these child abuse scandals, representing how many folks do you represent now? And these sex abuse scandals in the Catholic Church, I apologize. Go.
About 85.
By the way, you go back. Alan was in this fight before anyone was in this fight. Ruined lifelong relationships over this battle for the truth. Did you not, sir?
Yes, back in those days, yeah, in the early 2000s, yeah. I lost friends and I took a lot of abuse for representing these kids that were abused.
Alan, they called you a liar. You lost lifelong relationships, did you not, sir?
I did. Mm. It's a different world now, thank God. But
Hold on a second. I think that's significant. Are people approaching this differently now, sir? And if they are, tell me how.
Yeah, the people that were back then saying, "Well, you know, how do you know we're not making this up? And these priests can't defend themselves. And this is a few bad apples spoiled it for everybody." Now they're patting me on the back, saying, "Way to go." And we're really supporting you, and this should have never happened. And it's just a different time and a different world, especially after the grand jury report, when it's disclosed that this was not a few bad apples, this was a whole systemic cover up and abuse by multiple priests, and it's just changed everything.
Alan Pear joining us. So, Alan, I just had the Attorney General on, Josh Shapiro, and he said that. These are his words, that Bishop David Zubik was involved in a cover-up and a conspiracy. Do you buy that, sir?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
Tell me why.
Well, I don't know who he's talking about, but I know, we have, you know, definite examples of priests where they knew, Wuerl and Zubik knew about the priest's predatory, you know, behavior, and you know, did not turn him over to the DA, did not, let those priests go move to other parishes without advising anybody, and, you know, let this go on. And not in all cases, but in some. And some is enough, you know, to be implicated in this thing.
Have you ever deposed Zubik in anything, sir, and you plan to in any of your litigation?
Well, yeah, once we get going. I mean, now we're actually moving forward with the litigation based on the case that we had in Altoona, Johnstown, that's possibly opening up the statute of limitations for a number of these people. Now we're starting to proceed further, and we've just served a big batch of discovery requests in one of the cases, and Zubik is, you know, involved in that case, so... So we'll see. I hope to. And Wuerl. I mean, Wuerl's going to be deposed as well.
Hang in there. Can you hang in there with me?
Sure.
All right. Alan Pear. So we have the Attorney General and Alan Pear, one of the prominent attorneys in the country in these sort of cases, suggesting that our bishop in Pittsburgh was involved in a cover-up and a conspiracy. It's major stuff. The Attorney General, Josh Shapiro, standing here live at about 9:20, said that he believes that Bishop David Zubik from Allegheny County was involved in a conspiracy and a cover-up, and that he cannot believe he's still on the job, but that's not his business, and it isn't. Alan Pear agrees. Alan Pear, one of the prominent attorneys in the country, with nearly 100 of these cases. So, Alan, you were rather disappointed. Everybody celebrated these SOL reforms, as they call them, statute of limitation reforms. You were disappointed, sir. Tell our listeners why.
I think it's totally illusion. It's an illusion. There is no change that it was done by the legislature. And let me just explain.
Yes, sir.
Number one, they're saying they're going to open the statute of limitations up to age 55 for civil cases for existing victims. And I'm sorry, for victims, and open for criminal. However, that is only going to apply to future cases of abuse. It will not apply to anybody who's been abused, including my 100 people.
That's right.
It doesn't apply to them. So, big deal. If a child is abused next week, they have up to age 55. But what about all the hundreds of people that were previously abused? And the second thing is, they have this window, and Scarnati, you know, Representative Rossi's been pushing, like 20 other states or more have opened like a 2-year window or 3-year window to file these older cases. And they've done it not by constitutional amendment. They've just voted and they've opened the statute. New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, they said, we're going to make this a constitutional amendment. So they passed an amendment which has to be passed again, which has to go to the public for a referendum, which at the earliest, if it reaches all those hurdles, 2021.
Yeah, Alan, hold on. Let me stop you there because I think this is important. This crap that they think people are going to pass a constitutional amendment is ridiculous. It just won't happen, sir.
Right. It may not happen, and so it's like it's just nothing happened, and it got front page coverage.
It
did. The legislature is opening up the statute to do justice for these older victims. Nonsense. It did nothing.
But it does. Hold on, Alan. We got to give credit. It does help anybody abused now, though, sir.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, if your child is abused tomorrow by a priest, your child would have up to age 55 to bring a lawsuit and could file criminal charges, I think, unlimited.
Yes.
But that's only future. What
right.
about all the hundreds of people, including the hundreds I represent? What about all those people? And it got front page coverage. Oh, the legislature is doing something. I think it's just public relations, to tell you the truth. I think Scarnati, you know, by doing this, he's given in a little bit to Rossi pushing for this. But it's a pipe dream. It's 2 years away if we ever get a window.
And this is, by the way, Alan, this is more Catholic Church lobbying with $1,300 an hour lawyers, is it not, sir?
Of course. I mean, it's of course. I mean, why not do what over 20 states have done, New York, New Jersey, Minnesota. Why not do what they've done, California? Why not create a window so we get justice? Absolutely get justice for all these old victims of these cover-ups and abuse. Why not do that? Well, because they're not going to do that. They're going to put it off and say, we're going to make a constitutional amendment and maybe in 2 years we'll open the window. I got all excited. I saw this.
Yes.
I said, oh, my God, my people have up to 55. I have a number of people who are still under 55. I thought, oh, my goodness, this is great. At least I get justice for those people. And then I read the last line of the act that, This only applies to future cases of abuse. It doesn't apply to any of the people who've been abused in the past. I thought, oh my God! So this is getting all this press, like the legislature is really seeking justice for all these old victims, and it's just nonsense. It didn't happen.
Alan, what do you say to folks who always confront attorneys like yourself and talk hosts like myself and say, "There's no way a 50-year-old story suddenly comes out. There's no such thing as repressed memory." How do you respond to that, sir?
I see it every day, and I see it from people you wouldn't believe. I have football players come in here, big, strong guys, sitting on my couch, break down and cry. They've never told anybody, or they, for the first time, you know, after the grand jury report, they felt brave enough to come forward when they
yes.
see, you know, they're not the only victim of this priest. You know, there've been multiple victims, and I mean, it's just, they come up with such details about what happened to them. You wouldn't come forward and just make this up. I mean, I really, of all the people, I don't think I've had anybody, I said, I think this person is, you know, making this story up. And why would you do that? You know, just to put yourself through and say what happened. I have these people evaluated by psychologists
right.
and talking.
Right.
And I mean, it's just... And then when they tell their story, and it's the same story that multiple victims have against the same priest, and he tells me intimate details of where it happened and the car that the priest was driving, and where these are for real. And then you see what's happened to these people in their lives, and you see that you know, they're alcoholics or they're drug addicts or they're married 3 or 4 times and divorced and estranged from their family and estranged from the church. Can't hold a job. it breaks your heart. I mean, I've listened to so many stories, and I still, it just makes me sick.
It does.
When I think that it's a priest who would take, I'm just reading, I'm sitting here right now with a file in front of me, got an offer from the fund last week. But he was abused by a priest starting at 8 years old to 13 years old with, horrible sex. Horrible sex. These kids at 8 years old, they don't even really understand.
That's my son. My son's age.
They didn't even understand that what this priest was doing was sexual abuse. They thought, what is it? What is going on?
Hold on, man. Can you hang?
Yeah.
Alan Pear. That's important stuff. Obviously, we've been talking about it since 9. First, we had the Attorney General, Josh Shapiro, suggesting that Catholic Bishop David Zubik, you're all familiar with, is involved in a conspiracy and a cover-up. He said it several times. I want to snag Ryan in Bellevue. Go ahead, Ryan. Thanks for hanging in there. You have Alan Pear as well.
Hi, thank you. I just want to preface this by saying I haven't been to church in like 30 years.
Yeah.
I'm 37 myself.
Yeah.
And I wish you would catch all the people who are abusing kids, for sure.
Yeah.
One thing that Alan said,
yes,
he's here.
And I would just want to ask him to clarify.
Yeah.
Was I'm kind of nervous.
That's
I'm
all right,
losing
man.
My breath.
That's all right, man.
Sorry.
That's all right. We have time.
He said that I don't want to. It's not all like bishops or people. But some is good enough. And I just want to ask him, maybe to clarify the some is good enough argument.
If you're talking about Bishop Zubik, is that what you're talking about? I'm not sure what you're asking me.
Yeah.
All I said was that I agree with Josh Shapiro that Wuerl and Zubik, in certain cases, looked the other way, covered it up, didn't turn the offending priest over to the district attorney, moved him from parish to parish, and even if those priests resigned from the ministry ultimately, they've continued to support them. They've paid, hundreds, thousands of dollars to these pedophile priests. Nothing ever happened to them. Even when they resigned the ministry, it's part of the Catholic, procedures that they continued to provide support for the rest of their lives. And meanwhile, they leave in their trail a lot of victims who don't have support. So what you're asking me, I'm not sure if that's what you're asking me or not.
Well, yeah, I guess the bishop, there was a specific question about the bishop. And then I believe you said, I don't know the specific about him, or I didn't hear about him. Maybe I
missed it. There are definite cases, even in the grand jury report, and some of the clients of mine, where Wuerl and Zubik both had information that a priest was abusing children, and in some of those cases, they did not turn him over to the DA. They did nothing but maybe send them for some counseling. Moved them to other parishes, didn't tell anybody at the parish where they were moved to that they're sending a pedophile to that parish, and allowed it to continue. So there are cases documented that there was a cover-up.
All right. Yep. I finally got the argument. The bishop knew information about the priest, and
right.
He was hiding that. I totally understand where you're coming from.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that. I appreciate it.
It's hard for a lot of people to understand, and it's hard for a lot of people to get past, but this is what you pursue, Alan, and this is what you will continue to pursue, right?
And Marty, the interesting thing is, it's been asked, and I've asked this question, why would somebody who finds out that a priest is abusing children, why would they cover it up? And it goes back, some of it goes back to the rules everybody's supposed to follow in Catholicism. And one of the first things they tell is to not bring any scandal upon the church. And so for years, that's the only thing that, it makes sense to me. They
Plus,
didn't
by
want
the
to
way,
bring...
these are family to them. These are their friends. These are their cohorts.
Right.
I mean...
Right. Right, but that's in the Catholic strict procedures. The first thing it tells everybody, the bishops and the cardinals, do not bring scandal to the church. And so there was an incentive to cover these things up. And then sometimes they said, well, if we send the priest to one of these treatment facilities, then they'll cure them and they'll come back and they'll be okay. And that's just false, because this is a sickness, and you don't get cured of being a pedophile. You don't send somebody away and they get some counseling and they promise not to do it again, and then you send them to another parish, a sick individual, to another parish, and it's going to happen again.
Hang in there. Hey, Brody, go ahead. You have Alan Pear on the line.
Hello.
Brody, go ahead, buddy.
Yes. Can you hear everybody hear me?
Yeah, we can. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, like with the thing, you know, I didn't call the trash the Catholic Church, but like, you know, this is just something. This is not embezzling money. This is like the most serious situation here. So this happens like all the time. So like, you know, I can't believe your son is like 8 years already, Marty. Time goes by so quick. So we need to like not traumatize the kids. We need to just tell everybody this is in the news. This happens. If anybody, we don't care. Don't be afraid to just, even if it even happens one time, or even not happens one time, leading up to it, there needs to be like immediately. I don't know what's protecting. I guess it's just goes to the dawn of time. The Catholic Church is protected. It's just not fair. And I like what you said about they can't be cured. I agree with you. It's just. Oh my God. To even think of that, and then you have to think about the Catholic Church being like the act of celibacy and stuff. They're even thinking of changing that rule, but I don't know whether the Catholic Church is changing with that.
Well, do you know
hold on, go ahead, Alan.
Do you know why that
yes,
is?
Alan.
Do you know why celibacy? It's not in the Bible. It's in, I think it was around 1400 that it was decided that the priest would be celibate, and the only reason for that was so that they wouldn't marry and transfer property out to their family. The property would remain in the church. So it's strictly a financial decision.
Yeah, I didn't know the story behind that, because I'm a Jewish person, so I'm just thinking like maybe I was thinking like maybe like marriage and kids and everything takes away from your drive, you know.
At one time, the priests were married, and what Alan says is accurate and spot on. And there are countries in Africa, quite frankly, where they're trying to bring it back. Hey, Alan, I have one more segment. Can you hang for me, sir?
Sure.
Attorney Alan Pear. We've got to get back to you, folks. It'll never go away till they all go away. They got a clean house, and they're never going to clean house. It's incestuous. It's like the guy that owns a family business. I've seen it my whole life. You got the son working there, the daughter, the cousins, the aunts, the uncles. I'm a friend. What he does is he takes over these family businesses. He immediately cuts the fur coats, the Mercedes lease, the trips, the cash, cleans them out because it's incestuous. That's the Catholic Church. It's an extreme case of the good old boy system. Why would they go after each other? Because they're all involved. It's the truth. Painful to hear. But the deeper you get into this, the more you realize it will not change until they all go. And they will never go. And that's a fact, Jack. Alan Pear. Alan, that's kind of the harsh reality of this, sir. You're playing with a situation that will be very difficult to change because the men in power have always been and will always be in power.
I agree with you, Marty. I think that really they need to, like you say, clean house and start over. And there have to be some serious changes made. I mean, I think having lay preachers rather than these priests that are held up, you know, these celibate priests held up to be, men of God, closer to God than a normal preacher, somebody who believes in the scripture and the gospel. It's just. You know, it breathes that. People that go into the ministry knowing they're going to be celibate their whole lives, these people, I think it attracts people that have issues, you know, with their sexuality and issues with with that, and it attracts these type of people. And up until more recently, this has been a safe place for them to practice being pedophiles.
Joe wants to know how the bishop in Allegheny County, the bishop of the diocese here, Zubik, can be held accountable. And can he, sir?
Well, when we get these cases litigated, yes. I mean, they've never been litigated because up until recently, they've all been thrown out because of the statute of limitations. And we're in the process of trying to change that in certain cases. And in those cases, we hope we will be able to show that there was an ongoing cover-up and conspiracy that went all the way up to the top levels. And, you know, if we now that we've passed one hurdle in court that allows us to go forward and present this to a jury, I think the truth in some of these cases will come out, and we'll find out that there was an ongoing conspiracy, and we'll find out it went up to the highest levels of the church. It wasn't this wasn't just a few bad apples. This was a systemic problem, and they really do need a clean house. I think even just to restore the faith of the true Catholics that believe and follow the gospel, I think they even would like to see it. I know they've had these public meetings, and people have stood up and said to Bishop Zubik, you need to resign. I've had clients that have gone to these meetings and have said that.
Yes, and he says, but he's not happening.
No, hey. and he has sworn, he said, I knew nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's talked to my clients, I promise you, I knew nothing. The facts, I think, are going to be otherwise.
Hey, real quick, one-word answer. Will the Catholic Church in Pittsburgh declare bankruptcy, Alan?
Possibly.
Okay. Thank you, sir. You're a good
All
man.
Right.
Talk
All
to
right.
you.
Thanks, Marty. Thanks a lot. Talk to you. Bye-bye.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.